world is room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Oh, welcome, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. It's Monday, 21st December 2015. Joining us today, every Monday, to further put a dark cloud over your perception of reality, Patrick Jordan from vaccinefraud.com. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi, Clint. Hi, everybody.
Yes.
But it's a happy dark cloud.
It's happiness. Happiness is darkness. Haven't you heard? That's the latest meme.
I love that. That's very Orwellian.
I know. It's very Popian. So, Patrick, you're a farmer. You grew up on a farm family, right?
Well, actually, I'm from the big city, but we moved out here so long ago, I can't even remember. And I am successfully transplanted into being what I call a farm boy from the grain ghetto.
Well, you know, you take a trip into town, what, every couple weeks, once a month, something like that, to actually buy things.
To get exposed to the outside world and then detoxify.
Which means that you're basically growing your own food, and that's kind of what we want to talk about today. I'm shocked at what's going on. Patrick is, of course, first-handedly shocked at what's going on. I'm just looking at it from the through the mirror. But I wanted to start out today. I remember this game, all right? When I was a little kid, I had a video game. Don't know how old it was. Don't remember the title. I only remember the beginning of the game. And the beginning of the game was simply that there was a massive corporation. And the corporation had basically become the government. Now, we don't think that that's the case today. We believe still that corporations are separate from government and that really government's there just to govern. And, you know, but in fact, as I've disclosed, the corporations, not only are their stocks owned by government, but you've got to think about it, folks. If you're going to open a corporation, you're doing so, first of all, in a government name. That government name then becomes an artificial person with other government names, which we call a corporation, association, foundation, etc. Right? So, in other words, whatever it is that you're doing is an agency relationship. The natural persons who become the body corporate, the body politic of the artificial person, which is the corporation, a bunch of natural persons who've joined together to create an artificial person, are essentially, you know, government property. So every corporation is part of government. This is hard for people to grasp. It's hard for people to accept. People want to still believe in anonymity. People don't want to believe they're in a feudal system. We'll do a show on feudalism here at some point. I figured out the 14th Amendment was really it's a feudal amendment. It was the creation of the feud. But the point I'm trying to make here is this: when this game happened, the story of the game was, it was a news report, and the guy was reporting that the last plant species on Earth had died.
Oh, wow.
And when asked, when the news agency had asked the corporation, hey, would you care to comment on this event, this you know, finalistic event in history, the corporate head said, well, gee, that's too bad. And that was the official statement. And then began the game, which was some, you know, game about genetically altered mutants and all that crap. Right? So I just remember that. I always stuck in my head for some reason because, I don't know. But nowadays it seems to be apropos with what is actually happening. And that's the scary part, is that there's this notion, Patrick, that I don't know, you know, how to put it into a cohesive statement, but it seems to me like we've got a structure here that is literally killing off the naturally created life, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, we'll call it creation. You can call it whatever you want. All of nature in its design before man ever got here is being killed off and being replaced by genetically altered forms of the same life. In other words, we're introducing certain aspects, certain gene modifications into the plants and the animals and the humans, and we're altering fundamentally the design of the fruit, vegetable, animal, mineral, whatever. So this seems to be the goal of companies like Monsanto, which we're going to be talking about today. Do you think that's a fairly accurate, you know, definition of the sort of efforts that are being put into play here?
Clint, I can't tell at this point in time whether you have invasions of the body snatcher on continual loop or you're living in Illinois, because you just described life at the ground level. Because I'm literally in the dirt. I spend most of my time when I'm not doing my research work and writing books, I spend my time literally in the dirt. My fingernails get caked with black dirt. My skin is caked with black dirt. I'm in the dirt, and I see exactly what you just described. They are doing an invasion of the body snatchers where the outside world almost looks the same, but I love the Jeff Goldblum remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Little Chinese guy in a laundry says to him, "Not my wife."
Yes. Or at least I don't want it to be my wife anymore, because I can't tell her about vaccines without her yelling at me and thinking I'm crazy. Yeah. Well, as nuts as that may seem, I can't help, you know, when I look at all these patents and all these things. Let's talk about Seminis. You know, Seminis is a part of Monsanto. Our team researchers, as far as their products, as they call them, our team researches and develops over 20 different crops with over 2,200 varieties of seeds. These innovative seeds are marketed to commercial vegetable growers, dealers, distributors, home garden seed providers, and wholesalers in more than 150 countries and territories. That's a pretty wide swath of earth. Because, you know, when you say a country, you're really saying a jurisdiction. You're saying the entirety of the land mass that equals the artificial borders that make up a country. So, yeah, it's kind of scary. Beans, broccoli, carrots, cauliflower, cucumbers, eggplant, hot peppers, lettuce, melon, onions, pickling cucumber, processing beans, peas, spinach, squash, sweet corn, sweet peppers, tomatoes, and watermelons, just this part of Seminis, the sister corporation of Monsanto. And, you know, a while ago you sent around an email requesting a little bit of help, just trying to figure this whole thing out, because you've been seeing, well, why don't you explain to people in layman's terms what you've been seeing happening to your crops? Because, again, here's a guy who's trying to really live off the grid as much as possible, trying to grow his own food. Well, what's happening out there? And remembering that you're in the, what do you call it, the grain ghetto?
Yeah.
And that Monsanto is being sprayed, you know, all the fertilizers and the insecticides and all that stuff is being sprayed all around you while you're trying to have a a nice organic farm. So tell people what you're seeing happening to your fruit.
So it's like dances with wolves. I got this loan output, a postage stamp of acreage that I'm trying to maintain as, and it can't be, by the literal, what would you call it, the bylaws of organic culture. I can't be considered organic because of the overspray. If I was to set aside a spot of land by the rules of overspray, I would probably have like a 10-foot square in the middle of my land that could be certified organic. But still, regardless of that situation, and regardless of the fact that Roundup is found in the urine of city dwellers in Germany, see, this entire planet is polluted. It doesn't matter where I'm at, but I'm trying to maintain a balance with nature, a complete agricultural model that everything gets recycled. Everything is non-supported by commercial fertilizers or pesticides, anything unnatural. Because if you look at the ecosystems of the world, they're all self-supporting. Who's out there fertilizing a forest? It supports itself. It's an ecosystem. And so I tried over, you know, probably 40 years to maintain that balance. And until recently, Clint, until recently, I have been able to feed myself for anywhere from 1 to 2 years on what I simply grow in my garden. That stopped this year. And what I'm looking at, I've been doing home fermenting for the past 2 years. And I started to notice that I'm losing an inordinate amount of ferments to a particular fungus called Sclerotinia. It's also called, I had to write it down, it's called white mold because it is a tufted white mold, but it's called watery soft rot. And that's what it does on the plants. And see, that it was a dualistic kind of thing. What I was doing is I was bringing in the best of my produce and trying to ferment it, and it would literally rot inside a hermetically sealed anaerobic airlocked vessel, sometimes up to like seawater percentile of brine. So we're talking 3.5% to 5% brine, and this mold, this aggressive monster, was still growing at the surface of the brine. How could that happen? Well, I was having living tissue, like squash and other kind of plants, actually being consumed, living tissue. This is not the breakdown of mold on things that were dead and I composted, because guess what? Just like opposite day, the stuff that I throw on the compost heap can take months before it rots. In the old days, because I've been at this for 40 years, in the old days, you throw something on a compost heap, you could barely recognize it in 2 weeks. Now, 2 months later, it's just sitting there. So what we got is this insane, satanic, good is evil is good reversal of things aren't rotting when they're dead and they should decay, but the living tissue is being eaten up. So I bring in the best of what I can, and it rots in the jar. I leave things outside to go to full maturity, and they're rotting on the vine. So I had to figure out, Clint, what the heck is going on? So I sent out an email to my top people that said, I need help. And what it was, Sclerotinia, the white, watery, soft rot, came up as the monster. Well, what is this monster? We had to figure out, okay, is this natural, or because, like you said, I am surrounded by nothing but industrial agriculture. So was it a mutant, or here's the weird part. Here I am, sitting on my couch. The only thing I have access to is my fermenter jars, what's coming out of my garden. And I discovered a bioweapon because my team, including you, you had a major contribution to this, Clint. We discovered that they were using, at least since the year 2000, so we're already 15 years behind the eight ball on this, they were using sclerotinia as what's called biocontrol. Biocontrol can be used against weeds for a herbicide or insects as an insecticide.
So, really life control.
Life control. Oh, I like that. Writing it down. Life control. And so they were using sclerotinia 15 years ago at least, and we're tracking it down. We're trying to find out when this first happened, to kill weeds. And as the data came in, because I got many contributors and we're just like piling up these files, as it came in, it became apparent that, well, see, this was called, I'm looking up every time, watery soft rot. Watery soft rot, because that's what it does. I mean, it was growing on the top of my brine. It can't subsist without moisture. And as we were researching this stuff, we found that, it started to cross ecosystems because they were using it. And, you know, when I say use it, they have to genetically modify it. It's GMO. They made it into a weapon, and all of a sudden, it's showing up in the desert. Bone dry desert, and this watery soft rot is showing up as a pathogen. Well, right then I knew that, you know, this was no freak of nature. This was something that was done on purpose. And then as the data was coming in, you came across the table with a clear, undeniable, and I love your style, he just went to the patents. And Monsanto had a patent for high resistance seeds. And that tells me, because, you know, they're not going to come out and say it, hey, look, we made a bioweapon and now we got to, like, hedge our bets against the extermination of the planet. What that tells me, high resistance seeds, means that they knew that this corporate mafia had created a bioweapon. They released it on purpose. It could take out 400 different species of edible plants on the planet, and they had to hedge against, well, we can't take out everything because then there'd be nothing to eat. So let's make some genetically modified plants that can resist the monster that we created. That's what it says. You're not going to read that in the patent, but that's what it means.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's from the Seminis website again. Monsanto Corporation. Sclerotinia sclerotiorum is the official name. It calls it Sclerotinia stem rot. Distribution, it says, is worldwide.
Thank you.
Okay. Symptoms. All cucurbits, which are, if I'm not mistaken, gourds, squash and that sort of thing, are susceptible to sclerotinia stem rot. This fungus is able to infect stems at the soil level, as well as leaves and fruit above ground. The first sign of disease is a white, cottony growth on infected tissue. Sound familiar?
I got pictures if anybody wants to see it.
You don't have family pictures, so you take pictures of your rot. As the disease progresses, the plant gradually turns yellow and may die. When an infected stem is cut open, white mycelium may be seen in the pith, along with large 6 to 12 millimeter black sclerotia. Is that what you're seeing?
I haven't gone that far. I usually just pull the vines up, throw them on a pile, and burn them.
Come on, man. You got to do an alien autopsy. Make a video of it. Upon infection, fruit may be colonized by the white mycelium of Sclerotonia sclerotorium. I don't know how you remember these words. And quickly becomes soft and watery. Conditions for disease development. The fungus can survive in soil for many years as sclerotia. These overwintering structures can infect plants by producing mycelium and forming apothecia with release of ascospores. The disease develops under cool to moderate temperatures and humid conditions. Prolonged periods of leaf wetness, 12 to 24 hours, are optimal for disease development. The fungus has an extremely wide host range of over 500 species of plants. So there you go. So wait a minute. If it's cool to moderate temperatures and humid conditions, what the hell is it doing in the desert, Monsanto?
Because we started with 400 on a file that was sent to me by the team, where they called this beast an omnivorous. That gave me cold chills. An omnivorous fungal plant pathogen. And it cited 400 different species. It must have got like some more things added to its menu since that article was written. Omnivorous.
Let me ask you this, because I can't help but make the connection here that when you genetically alter something, you're essentially changing the way, you know, you're going to the DNA and you're making certain genes express certain, microbials and compounds and things that will prevent certain exposure to certain or the results of certain diseases, certain fungus, certain this, certain that. Does that not sound exactly like what they're doing to us when they vaccinate us?
Oh, without a doubt. And this is, last Monday was actually a brilliant show. I wasn't feeling my best and I was having a hard time concentrating, but the kind of things that we came up with were absolutely, they were pivotal for me, because when I try to explain things to people, and you said bring it to everybody in layman's terms, when I try to bring it to people so that they can understand it the first time through, if you can picture like the stock footage everybody sees of these little plastic pipettes that are on it's in an automated machine, and it just moves back and forth, and it drops down, and it goes into these little wells, and then it moves up, and it moves over, and then it drops down into these other little wells. What they're doing is they've got these cassettes of many different little vials with one parameter changed in each vial every time, and they're doing these mass experiments where they either put something in or take something out to sample it and see what the changes are in those little tiny vials in that entire cassette. And when I look at humanity, I see no difference between the stepwise manipulation of the environment and us at the genetic level than them doing this computer-controlled little pipettes on a servo, dropping down, moving over one row, dropping down, moving over one row, and just doing these multiple tests just to see what happens. It's almost a game.
Well, it's by lot number, serial number of each vaccine, right?
Yeah.
That's why the big push to interconnect all the medical records so that they can track all this stuff. But it occurs to me, you know, we're just to be clear about what we're saying here, we're saying that, again, what they call it, sclerotinia stem rot, mm-hmm. is being, okay, it's being sprayed. It's not just something that is happening in nature anymore. It's right. Biologically created and somehow spread into nature, and then, of course, nature spreads it as if it's a natural, you know, as if, as is said, the spores will spread themselves, right?
As if there's borders, yeah.
So, to be clear, what we're saying here is that you found that this is being sprayed as a basically a biological weapon. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a biological weapon against humans or cows. It means that it's a biological weapon against living plants to which it would affect. And also, the importance of that is to note that to combat that spray, to combat that attack, that bioweapon against the very life force, the green of Earth, if you will, Monsanto is literally, and other companies, and the government, you know, every Monsanto patent has government in it, is literally creating seeds that will be immune to what they are spraying as a bioweapon, killing off, say, Patrick Jordan's crops because they're not in tune with the standards of genetically altered life, essentially. So, I don't know if I made that clear. They're spraying a bioweapon to kill all of nature, replacing it, well, not all of nature, but specifically plants that are susceptible to stem rot, the sclerotinia, and replacing it and selling seeds to farmers that will only be safe, if you will, immune from this stem rot. Is that about right?
Dude, you're the king of sound bites. That's it. And we collectively, you included, we collectively discovered that just for me sitting on my couch going, oh my God, I can't feed myself. So when you say it's not a bioweapon necessarily directed at human tissue, and we don't know that yet, because it's a wild Frankenstein loose across the planet. We don't know what the health effects are in human beings. But I do know this: if I can't freaking feed myself, that's still a bioweapon, and it's still going to kill me.
Well, so now again, I know you don't like this the whole thing, but really what this boils down to, I mean, eventually it seems to me we might as well just have Monsanto start making the vaccines. I mean, it seems to me like this is just another form of the colloquial mark of the beast, the notion of not being able to eat unless you either buy food or buy seeds or whatever that are able to be grown in an environment that is completely infected with the very thing that makes this the only viable food source.
You got the Book of Revelation as an audiobook, don't you? Because that you know, nobody can buy or sell or whatever unless you do what they say. And see, I'm growing heirloom seeds. I'm growing in unfertilized, untreated, you know, ground that I have been successful at for 40 years.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I can't eat.
And they call the gene expression, they call the epigenome, they call them markers.
Oh, wow.
Marks.
Wow.
Marks, folks. Marks. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Well, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had three bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way he could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, well, stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Clear your mind of questions. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, folks, welcome back here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Patrick Jordan today, vaccinefraud.com. I want to read just from one of the patents that we found. This is a patent. It is publication number US5607914A. It is a grant. It was published March 4th. 1997, so this is nothing new. Synthetic antimicrobial peptides is the name of the patent. The description is very telling. It is a continuation and part of a former U.S. patent filed in 1993, now abandoned, and continuation of another U.S. patent filed in 1993. This invention relates to synthetic peptides which have antimicrobial activity. Disease resistance is an important objective of the genetic engineering of crop plants. Numerous fungi and bacteria are serious pests of common agricultural crops. The maize, corn plant, is susceptible to a variety of pathogenic fungi that reduce yield and quality of the crop all over the world. In the United States alone, annual losses in the Corn Belt range from about 7% to about 17%. One method of controlling diseases has been to apply antimicrobial organic or semi-organic chemicals to crops. This method has numerous art-recognized problems. Now, there's that word, art, I always tell you about. Mm-hmm. Art, folks, art. Art-recognized problems. A more recent method of control of microorganisms, pests, has been the use of biological control organisms, which are typically natural competitors or inhibitors of the troublesome microorganisms. However, it is difficult to apply biological control organisms to large areas, and even more difficult to cause those living organisms to remain in the treated area for an extended period. I think they're talking about cities, and I think they're talking about us. Still more recently, techniques in recombinant DNA have provided the opportunity to insert into plant cells cloned genes which express antimicrobial compounds. This technology has given rise to additional concerns about eventual microbial resistance to well-known naturally occurring antimicrobials, particularly in the face of heavy selection pressure, which may occur in some areas. Thus, a continuing effort is underway to express naturally occurring antimicrobial compounds in plant cells directly by translation of a single structural gene. In other words, we can force the plant to create, to express certain traits more so than others, and that'll be explained here as we keep reading. However, there is a limited pool of naturally occurring peptides and other compounds with which molecular biologists can work. Attention is now focused on the rational design of eventually new peptides which can function effectively in plant cell expression systems and in other uses where microbial peptides can be used. In addition, there are other aspects of plant cell expression systems which make the design of new antimicrobial peptides desirable. Crop plants have more important things to do than fight disease. They are sources of sugars, starches, proteins, oils, fibers, and other raw materials.
Raw materials.
Genetic engineers would also like to modify and often to enhance the production of those natural plant products. You know, it's amazing. The plants never receive anything for their produce. Oh. Kind of like us. You know, we don't ever give anything for our children except grief when we give them up to the state. Unfortunately, plant cells can only produce large quantities of a few cellular components at a time. If they are producing high levels of storage proteins, it is difficult for them to also produce high levels of antifungal compounds. Thus, genetic engineers face a quandary in designing advanced plant systems which require a high-level expression of multiple genes. The creation of entirely new antimicrobial peptides offers the molecular designer the opportunity to select structures which enhance the plant's content of various important or limiting amino acids, which also providing antimicrobial activity. One example of this is the high lysine derivatives of alpha hortothionine, another patent. Even so, there continues to exist a need for still more compounds which can be elevated and used in various plant and non-plant antimicrobial application. So it's essentially explaining the need for these types of things, and the real kicker of this is to design plants in a certain way that will actually make them produce the desired product. It's kind of like brainwashing us into thinking we should work an 8, 10, 12-hour day, that kind of thing. It has now been determined that new lyric peptides, this is the disclosure of the invention, it's now been determined that new lyric peptides can be designed to provide antifungal or antimicrobial activity. These proteins can be expressed to enhance resistance to fungal diseases in plants. While not intended to be limited by theory, this discovery is based upon a departure from prior art methods involving de novo synthesis of compounds. Instead, the compounds of this invention were designed according to the principle that so long as the amphiphatic phatic helix, which is the DNA secondary structures, constitutes the predominant portion of the molecule, for example, that which determines its physicochemical behavior, the peptide sequence can be constructed, and as much or as little sequence homology as desired to existing bioactive compounds, or with no sequence homology at all to existing bioactive compounds, provided that it has a hydrophobic moment, as determined by the Eisenberg algorithm, which is similar to that of naturally occurring bioactive molecules. In general, this hydrophobic moment can be expected to place them in the surface region of the hydrophobic moment plot of naturally occurring antimicrobial proteins as defined by Eisenberg and colleagues. It goes on and on and on. Of course, you wanna try to put that in English?
Okay. There is a famous doctor that has a famous newsletter that basically defrauded people out of $1.4 million in a campaign to get things labeled whether or not they're GMO. Well, guess what? There is probably nothing on this planet, including your organic produce, that does not have some level of GMO contamination to it. And that is why people will continue to take your money if you're stupid enough to give it away. And if you are, go to vaccinefraud.com and find my email there and then, you know, send me a gift. Because everything is contaminated with GMO, whether or not it is labeled, whether or not you think it is in the plant, which is what you were describing, Clint. What you were describing was the exact analog of what's called Roundup Ready crops. So Roundup is a non-selective herbicide that kills everything in sight, kills everything. So what do you have to do? You've got to create a plant that has Roundup resistant genes in it. So that's a GMO, genetically engineered plant, that can resist the Roundup.
But well, for God's sake, Roundup doesn't have spores.
Okay, and yeah, hold on to your pantyhose. That's just to resist the herbicide. But the other thing that's going on is there's chewing insects out there. So the first thing that they developed was BT, stands for Bacillus thuringiensis, corn, because these little beetles would eat the corn so bad that literally it would fall over. And so, well, you got to get rid of that. So you take the crystalline toxin from Bacillus thuringiensis, so that's a bacteria poison, and you make the plant make that poison so that when a bug eats it, it gets sick, and then it comes over to my garden. And actually, these sick insects, I would go out to my garden and see these beautiful, just gorgeous, like okra blossoms, or a beautiful squash blossom. And there would be bees of all different varieties, because I rarely see honeybees anymore. There would be bees and these pathogenic beetles literally just sitting in the flowers. Like they were sick to their stomach, and they couldn't decide whether to eat or not, and they didn't have enough energy to fly. They would just be sitting there in the shade.
But you don't have to worry about that, because at Harvard University, if you want to know how that problem is going to be fixed,
uh-huh.
go to robobees.seas.harvard.edu. Inspired by the biology of a bee and the insect's hive behavior, we aim to, that's we, Harvard University,
right.
we aim to push advances in miniature robotics and the design of compact high-energy power sources, spur innovations in ultra-low power computing and electric smart sensors, and refine coordination algorithms to manage multiple independent machines. Practical applications, why coordinated agile robotic insects can be used for a variety of purposes, including autonomously pollinating a field of crops, search and rescue in the aftermath of a natural disaster, hazardous environmental exploration, military surveillance, high-resolution weather and climate mapping, and traffic monitoring. Hell, if each one of us had a robo-bee that just landed on our car, it could transmit how fast we were going. Oh, well, never mind. You're already stupid enough to have a GPS in your car, which tells you how fast you're going, and it tells you what the speed limit is while you're speeding. You don't need a robo-bee. But since we're killing bees with Monsanto genetically altered crap, we're going to need robo-bees. Because remember, what is it? Who was it that said if the bees die, the human species would probably go with it? No worries!
Yeah,
robo-bees! Robo-bees! That's all we need!
Clint, you got a date on that one?
A date?
Yeah, on the article from Harvard.
No, copyright 2015, but it's... Okay. But this says they conducted a first successful flight of a life-size robotic fly in 2007.
Okay.
Thanks to Professor Wood's microbotics lab.
I'm just wondering how we're going to make it, because that's the other. It's called full spectrum warfare when you've got like everything covered. I'm looking at pathogens that are literally rotting food. Living flesh growing on the vine, being rotted right off. Never seen that before in 40 years. Okay, so this is why I got so upset. This is why I sent the team looking for me. And that was my email message. I need help. Never seen it in 40 years. The ecosystem is breaking down. The insects are breaking down. Well, if they're not pollinating, it doesn't even matter if my food rots on the vine. It's not getting pollinated, so it's not going to form. And they're doing the replacements. They're already engineering the bees in the background. That means they knew that this is the criminal conspiracy of it. They already knew what's that called? Premeditation. They already knew what they were doing before they started working on the bees.
See, what's amazing about the notion of robotic bees or any other insect is that they could, I mean, you know, technically, I don't know, it might sound crazy to people, but it's perfectly reasonable, because it's the same thing as a no-fly zone with an airplane. They could literally say, okay, bee, you're not to pollinate anything on this square property of Patrick
George. Yeah, you're going to say that.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We killed all the good bees
yeah.
and natural bees,
yeah.
and we're
yeah.
now you have a basically a grid system where the robotic bees won't go because they're programmed to avoid the hazardous areas where nature still thrives.
That's full spectrum warfare. That's exactly what we got going on, and it's premeditated. They know, like a chess game, ahead what it is they were trying to accomplish, what they have accomplished, and what they want to accomplish. And we're just catching up. Now, if everybody stays with us into the next hour, I got a little bit of light at the end of the path. I'm not going to say tunnel, because usually it's a train and it's going to mow us over.
No light! No light allowed here! No light! So I have to be dark one more time here.
Okay.
So we did these shows a while back. If you didn't hear them, you really should. Or you can just get the cover, you know, the National Geographic. Zombie books. So think about a, and we've already seen these in military cartoons or graphics where they're designing them. We already know they exist. But think about a wasp.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What was it that was always delivering the sting
to the
ladybug or to the other bugs, to the spiders, to make them, to deliver the parasite that infect the brain and make them, you know, basically allow the parasites to eat them from the inside out, protect them while they're doing it. Well, God, what can you imagine what's coming with robotic wasps?
Well, vaccinations against
vaccination, right?
You can't stop them.
Dude, I'm telling you, Patrick, at this point, I've said it before, we're at war. And I think I agree with you in more ways than one when I say we're at war with a parasitic infection of ourselves causing people to do these things. I'm still pretty convinced of that at this point. And literally, if we don't destroy corporations, which are artificial persons, like Monsanto, then we deserve what we get. Goodbye.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. First off, a big thank you to people from Oregon, California, New York, Maine, Connecticut, Saskatchewan, Canada. People are logging on to landho.tv and they are purchasing land in the United States in sunny New Mexico for as low as $350 down and $99 a month. In 1 year, you own the land. These are usable parcels in a development that can only be worth more money in the years to come. Similar lots in the same development have sold for up to $15,000. So it really is a no-brainer. Visit landho.tv to purchase yours today via PayPal. Other mainstream investments are good, but they sit in a vault. Land remains a true investment that you can use while it can increase in value. Current land prices are already going up, and this commercial could be pulled at any time, so you must act fast, because when these properties are gone, they're gone. $350 down, $99 a month. Landho.tv. LANDHO.TV. Right now.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Come to Fincabayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creed.
All righty, folks. Now, Patrick, you made a statement. And you said that essentially at this point in our strange progression, that there is really no way that you can be eating organic. There's just no way that you can possibly have, in the true sense of the word, an organic food. Even though, you know, you try, you plant, you buy a product label that says organic. I mean, hell, it's about as organic as the Constitution, right? So, explain yourself.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Okay, so let's go all the way back to early studies on polar bear livers in the Arctic.
That sounds delectable.
They found, like, every industrial chemical known to man in polar bear livers in the Arctic. And then they went to this high Andean mountain region with a lake that supposedly no other human beings have ever been to. They sampled the water, and it was like, you know, it came out of Dow Chemical's waste treatment plant. And so, you know, people always tell me, you got to get out of the grain ghetto, man. You got to move. Well, the studies that I was citing on the use of sclerotinia as a herbicide, those are done in Denmark and New Zealand. Where the heck am I going to go if German men are peeing out Roundup in cities? Okay, so the world is, as they say, one cohesive living organism, and it's all interrelated, and you can't escape the damage that's been done right now. That's why we have to stop it and heal it. And with respect to... Go ahead.
I just am reminded of all the science fiction films where people are living under biodomes.
Right. Right. And you can't do that. You can't... And this is what I'm saying. You can't run away. If I went to New Zealand, I would have the exact same problems that I have in Illinois. And that's why I always feel like I am the guy in the fort in Dances with Wolves. I'm the vanguard telling you, hey, this is coming down the pike, and it's like, well, crap, I'm already 15 years late in discovering this bioweapon. And it was only by accident. It's only because I can't feed myself anymore. 15 years, you know, behind the eight ball. So what am I feeding myself with? Well, I buy heirloom seeds. Am I getting heirloom crops? Because, no, I'm surrounded by industrial agriculture, and that pollen knows no borders. So my beans are crossing with their soybeans. I don't even grow corn anymore. Corn is not even considered food to me, so I don't mess with it. But what we're seeing is the entire world has been rewritten at the genetic level. So even if it says organic, there's no guarantee that the genes haven't been polluted at the level of cross-pollination, even on an organic farm. And then what they allow, the USDA and the FDA have allowed forever, for as long as I know, organic farms can spray biocontrol. They've been using things like Bacillus subtilis to act as a pesticide. So this is a bacteria. Bacillus anthracis is anthrax. Bacillus subtilis comes out of sewers. There's a whole bunch of bacilli, and they're all nasty spore-forming organisms. But you can spray it on organic crops. You can spray it on organic crops.
Aye, aye, aye. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.